The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was the Feast of the Holy Family several years ago, maybe decades. And finally, the mother of eight has got them all dressed, mostly washed, and coming into church about this time. Here's the preacher up there speaking eloquently of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that beautiful Holy Family. Being seen coming in late, she had lots of stares, even one from the pastor. And on her way out, she goes, "Huh, yeah, easy for you, Mary and Joseph, you only had one." I would suggest that we may have idealized the Holy Family to the point that they have become unreal to us. Now, I know growing up, before I went to seminary, my whole experience of the Holy Family were those little family portraits that you do, you know, where everybody's posed and dressed and hair is clean and smiling, even if you're being poked in the rib from behind to smile. That was my experience. How many images of the Holy Family do we have where Jesus is looking the wrong way? Or maybe he's crying. Joseph is upset that the cameraman is not taking a good picture and they're paying too much at Sears. What is our image of the Holy Family? We've all had those portrait sessions, haven't we? We're great when they're done, but how hard was it to get everybody there at the same time, wearing clean clothes and mostly sober for the photo? We have these photo sessions where we gather with our extended family and it gets more and more and more complicated. But did Jesus, Mary, and Joseph really have it that easy? Biblically, we could say, Mary was found with child before she was married. Kind of complicated. Then and now, Joseph was ready to divorce her quietly instead of the normal punishment, which was to be stoned to death by your townsfolk. And then, thankfully for the Holy Family, he's willing to soften his heart and listen to a dream. Now, would you want your protector, your breadwinner, to be basing big life decisions on dreams? I remember I had a childhood dream of getting a motorcycle and driving to the tip of South America. I'm not going to do that. Might not be part of the Holy Family, but you see that we have some very interesting things going on here. Mary, about to give birth, is forced by an occupying army to show up at some town she's never been to because she's marrying into the house of David. And then when they get there, they're too poor to get a room. We like to think it was just there, everything was full. Well, if you have money, not everything is full. These were very poor people. And Jesus, born into poverty, with amazing things going on, which would have been a little peculiar for the parents, shepherds suddenly showing up and saying amazing things about your child, and you're like, oh, this is going to be so hard. I mean, talk about the attitude your child might have if he knew he was the Son of God. What is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Why have we pushed them so far away that they're not available to us as real people who had real struggles? I would suggest they look a lot more like us today than maybe they ever have. What happens next in the scriptures? Right? A little vacation to the Nile River? No, they were forced into exile because someone was trying to kill their child. And listening to a dream, they escaped just in time. But then everybody in the city they just left, who was 2 years old and younger, and male, was murdered by Herod and his henchmen. Might you have a little bit of survivor's guilt? Why not us? Well, because we're the Holy Family. We have special protection. Give me a break. It doesn't sound like special protection. It sounds pretty dangerous to be the Holy Family. And they can't return to their home country, to their family and friends, to their neighbors, to their kin, until a death or regime change comes about? Kind of sounds like some of the countries we know today. But what would they have done in Egypt? Landless, poor, and in need. Maybe they did pretty good. Maybe the Magi bankrolled their little trip and maybe even loaned them a camel. I don't know. But it doesn't sound like that was the first thing I wanted to do with my newborn. Did Anne and Joachim ever get to see their grandchild? Or did they die while they were away in Egypt? This family is looking like it's having a lot of suffering. And of course it gets better. Everything from there on is smooth. We know Jesus was the perfect child, right? We sing in a way in a manger that he doesn't even cry. Doesn't sound very human to me from the children that I've held. Why is it that we want to romanticize a family that is far more like us than it isn't? A family that struggles. How would you like at your son's christening to be told that he will be the rise and fall of many? A stumbling block. And that, oh, blessed mother, your heart will be pierced. Can we get another prophet here? I'd like to get a second opinion on this. God was slowly making known that somehow family life involves a great deal of suffering. I think if you've been in a family and grown up with parents and children, you know that. But God was also calling us to grow in holiness within that family, focusing on love and peace, or the shalom of God. How did the Holy Family focus on those things in the midst of adversity? I think they kept their priorities on people and relationship over things. They were focused on those relationships that mattered most with their kinfolk and building up those bonds of love that can carry us through any kind of adversity. I remember my dad telling me after the fires in San Diego, which burned pretty close to his house, his neighbor said it was the best thing that happened. They lost everything. And I'm like, you're going to have to explain that to me, Dad. So their $300,000 house and all of its contents and all those memories and their cars burned to the ground. And it was the best thing that happened? And he said, well, the neighbor explained to him that what had happened is that it refocused their priorities. Because they, before the fire, had been really focused on accumulating stuff. In fact, hoarding really cool stuff. You know, a full wine cellar, especially air-cooled, was really important. And they spent more time on that than they did in caring for their children. They spent more time on making money to buy more stuff than spending it with their sons and daughters, worrying about them, enjoying their company, playing with them. And he said now that they had nothing, they spent a lot more time together and found it wonderful. Wow. Now, I'm not recommending burning down your entire house in order to grow in holiness. But if you see what's happening to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, what little they had was often being taken away from them. And yet they continued to grow in holiness because they spent time with one another and they worked on that love. They worked on so many things. I think one of the things, a little saying, is we need to get our saints out of heaven and our sinners out of hell. If we have family members we think are so saintly that we never approach them, never want to hang out with them, they'll always be judging us, they're probably not saints. And if we have family members that are black sheep, that are such sinners, that we wouldn't want to be seen with them, maybe we should join them. If we're reacting and reacting to them in a way that is far from Christian. If we get our saints out of heaven and our sinners out of hell and rejoin with one another in love, things that are amazingly beautiful can happen. But it won't be easy. Look at the Holy Family, right? We can hold that picture postcard up, or we can hold our own family portrait up once everybody finally got there and we got the picture and it's on the refrigerator. And we look and we like, wow, isn't that great? Look at all of these members of my family. And we often, when we look at those pictures, they're not exactly the nuclear family, are they? There are friends and shirt tail relatives that have kind of attached themselves to our family, and it brings us great joy. There are single parents, there are divorced people, there are widowed, there are estranged people, And yet all of these are in family in some way. I would suggest there are many different ways of being family as there are different people here today. But there are also as many different ways of growing in holiness, completeness, perfection in God's love as there are people here today. There is not a single model, but there are things that we could focus on that bring forth life, that creative, generative life that sets people free around us. We have a God who is love and desires us to experience that love at the depth of our being. And yet, how often in families are we estranged from one another because of something that's probably small and trivial, but boys, it got under our skin and we're angry for the last 18 years. That's not the Holy Family. The Holy Family would immediately forgive and move on because there are more troubling things in the world than this little infraction or this small hurt. And even deep hurts, right? Holding that resentment is like me drinking poison and hoping you get sick. And I'm going to drink another gallon of poison because you're not sick enough. It's not going to help either of us grow in holiness. Whenever I'm tempted to drink that poison, to hold on to that resentment, I love the line from Scripture that says, just forgive your enemies. It's like heaping hot coals on their head. It's in the Scripture. God said, if you forgive them, it's like heaping hot coals on their head because they're not expecting it. And it's going to challenge them to see you in a new way. And maybe that love will break through a hardened heart and we can be reconciled. Because that's what God is about. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. That our first parents, way back when, had made a big mistake and chose to go on their own. And yet God said, no, 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 come back. In fact, I'll send my Son that you might have tremendous, always available access to the Holy. Do we want to grow as the Holy Family? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? I don't think so. But is it worth the effort? Yeah. Do we have lots of gifts and talents and every ability that we need to do it in each of our families? That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. That we will never be without the strength we need. That we'll never be challenged beyond our ability, especially when we abandon ourselves to God's providence. I can just see Mary and Joseph hiking through the desert going, Joe, this isn't really what I planned. And Joe's like, no, Mary. But you know, God is with us. God's favor rests upon us. Just as it rested upon the child Jesus, it rests upon each and every one of our families. Will we let that favor that's resting on us bear abundant fruit? And we grow in holiness. That's our work for this coming year. That we might bear abundant fruit as holy families.